Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Father, we come to your gates with thanksgiving and saying, thank you, my Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the everlasting life. The gift of eternal life, the gift of grace, the gift of faith, the gift of righteousness, all the precious gifts that you've given us, Father, that we just want to say thank you, Lord. And Father, we give you praise as we come to your courts, and we just give you praise and glory and honor, Lord. You're worthy, Lord, worthy, Lord. Thank you, my Father. Thank you for Jesus. Hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And Father, we come past the courts, past the gates, past the courts, past this Bible study. We thank you for this seminar that we do, Father, as you allow us to do by your Spirit, my Father, every Saturday, my Father. And we want to glorify you for that, Lord. We want you to be glory in it, my Father. So we ask, Lord God, that you take full control by your Holy Spirit and that you minister through these lips of clay to the needs of your people, my Father God. So we can even come past this holy place, hallelujah, fellowship with you through this radio broadcast, all the way behind the veil into your very presence, my Father. But every time, Lord, we use some of us together on this radio broadcast, it's more than just an invitation, Lord, to come to hear a Bible study or a radio broadcast. My Father, this is an invitation to all of us under the sound of my voice to come into your presence, my Father God. So we thank you for that. For you said, Lord, in your word, that we can come boldly to your throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Therefore, we take you up on that invitation, Father, and we come all the way into your presence, Father, to feast at the King's table, to hear, Lord, not only what I say, and the people hear not only what I say, that they might hear, Father, what you say to all of us about what I say, Father. Hallelujah. That way, Lord, we hear from you, Father. So, Lord, here we are, Father. Now fill us up, Father. Feed us, my Father. And we'll be careful, as in always, to give you all of the credit, all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen, amen, and so shall it be. In the mighty name of Jesus, so shall it be. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. What an honor, what a privilege it is, again, like I always say unto you, to come together with you all and go into the presence of the Most High God and just allow God to minister to us, to build us up, and to give us our inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And for that, my Father, we say thank you once again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, incline your ears. You know, the anointing of God is upon these lips of clay to minister God's word, and the anointing of God is on your ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us in this hour. Hallelujah. And that's a privilege. That's an honor. And hey, listen, God called mighty men and mighty women into his presence. The very fact that he called us into his presence, the main thing he wanted, one of the main things he wants us to know, that, hey, we're not just mere men and mere women. We are mighty men and mighty women, hallelujah. We're not just human beings, hallelujah. We are the children of the Most High God. Glory to God, hallelujah. 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 We're not just servants, hallelujah. We are sons, hallelujah. We're not just members of a church. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And listen, if we are sons of God, the Bible says, then we have an inheritance. Then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Everything that Jesus have, we have. You hear me say this all the time on the broadcast, you know. Everything that Jesus can do, that Jesus did, we can do. You always hear me say on the broadcast, as he is, so are we. Just like the Father sent him, that's how he sent us. He did the same thing the Father did to him. The Father sent him, he came to this earth, equipped boy his disciples, and I ain't just talking about the 12 disciples, I'm talking about all those who are students of his word. He equipped us. And then after he equipped us, then just like God equipped Jesus and sent him, then Jesus came to this earth, equipped us, and then he sent us. He sent us to do the same thing that he sent his son to do. And what did he send his son to do? You know what the Bible says in Isaiah. A virgin shall have a child, you know. And we shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Hallelujah. And God then did that same thing. And in Isaiah 9, he said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And it said this also, you know, paraphrasing a little bit, he said, and he came with a government on his shoulder. What's a government? That's a ruling authority of a country. That's the sovereign rule of a country, the sovereign reign of a country. You know, so what he came with? He came with the government, the ruling authority of the kingdom of heaven, the government of heaven. He ain't coming with any government. He come with the governing system of heaven on his shoulder. He come with the functioning principles of heaven. He came with the culture of heaven. He came with the character and nature of heaven. He came with the environment and atmosphere of heaven, glory to God. And not only that, boy, he came, man, preaching, man, the good news about this government of heaven and this culture of heaven and this lifestyle of heaven. And the good news of the gospel that he came with about the government of heaven is that government is available to us right now. That even though we're in this world system, we don't necessarily have to be of it. We're in it. But, man, listen, Jesus said this here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He said, thanks be unto God who has translated us out of this governing system of this world over into the governing system of his son. And the Bible said this, thanks be unto God who translated us out of the kingdom of darkness. The word darkness there means ignorance. Ignorance only means, you know, I want you to take that as dark, the dark, derogatory way. It just simply means not knowing. or lack of knowledge of. So whenever you hear me say the word ignorant in there, I'm not man speaking nothing, you know, evil about you. No, it just simply means, you know, that which we don't know. Anything that we don't know of or know about, then that simply means that we are ignorant of it. It simply means not knowing, or we don't know, you know. And watch this here. The Bible say in the book of Hosea, they say my people are being destroyed because of what they don't know, because of a lack of knowledge. That's why I count it an honor and a privilege what I tell you on here, you know, because God come on here to share with us quality knowledge. He wants us not just to have knowledge. What do you mean quality knowledge, Arthur? Hey, listen, there's two kinds of knowledge. There's knowledge that we derive from our five sense reasonings, and then there's a knowledge that we can derive from the Word of God that's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. The only way it can be revealed to us is through the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls that revelation knowledge. So there's two kinds of knowledge, sense knowledge, five sense reasoning, like we learn in our academies, in our school, in our education system, of this world system that we live in. But then again, as like I said, there's another knowledge that's revealed to us of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. And that's revelation knowledge, glory to God. That's the knowledge that Hosea was talking about, that God said my people are ignorant of or being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge of the revelation of God's Word, the revealed knowledge of God's Word. And the revealed knowledge of God's Word is what Jesus Christ come preaching. Because notice what he said in Luke chapter 4, you know. He said this, verse, I think it's around verse 18. He said this, the Spirit, this is what Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal a broken heart, to set at liberty those who are bound, to set the captives free, recovering of sight to the blind, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He never attributed none of those mighty works that he did, the message that he proclaimed, he never attributed none of those miracles and to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what I do. And listen to what the Bible say too, in Ephesians chapter 1. He say, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of us. Can you imagine that? How much power you think it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead? How much power you think it took to call Lazarus forth and Jairus' daughter forth and to open those blind eyes and to cast out devils and to raise Jesus Christ all the way from the pit of hell and set him at the right hand of the Most High God? Hallelujah. How much power you think that took for that, to do all the work that Jesus Christ was doing upon this earth? But that's the same power that live on the inside of you and I. I'm going to say that again. The same power that was in Jesus Christ, what power is that? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. The same blind open eyes, the same death-raising power, the same blind opening eyes, the same power to unstop deaf ears and to cast out devils and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. That same power that was in Jesus Christ was on the inside of you and I. How come we ain't operating in that kind of authority and power like Jesus did? Because of a lack of knowledge. The Bible also said in Colossians, verse chapter 1, the same chapter I was quoting just a few minutes ago about how he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, over into the kingdom of his dear son. Right before that, he said, listen, we have an inheritance, and our inheritance is in light. What that L-I-G-H-T, what that is? That's illumination. What kind of illumination, man? That's light shining in darkness. What's darkness again? Not knowing. What's light again? Knowledge. What's darkness? Ignorance. What's knowledge? Light. Hallelujah. So he say, man, listen, our inheritance, now all that we have and all the power that we have and everything that we can do and the ability that we have, it's in coming to the knowledge of death. And the only one can reveal that kind of knowledge to us, boy, is our Father in heaven, with, through his word, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Why are you saying that, Arthur? Because, man, God wants you to know, boy, who you really are. You're not just no human. I hear some people say, well, I'm just human. No. If you were unborn, if you ain't saved, if you're a child of God, you're more than just a human. Hallelujah. You're more than just a servant. You're more than just a member of a church. Hallelujah. You're much more than that. You have much more power and ability than you can even think or imagine. I'm telling you, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, living on the inside of you and me. And boy, if we come to the knowledge of that, then, boy, we'll be able to do the works that Jesus did. Jesus said, the work that I do, shall you do also. I told you, he come to show us. When he was walking up on this earth, and the thing that he was doing, he was saying things. This is what he was preaching. This was his message. You can do that. As I am, so are you. Just like I said, just like the Father sent me, then the same way I'm going to send you. As I am, so are you. The works that I do, so can you. And then after he finished doing everything that he did, man, then he commissioned us. He said, now you go and do what? And be just like me. Act like me, talk like me, live like me. How are you? You ain't going to accomplish that overnight. But boy, you start charting you. When you know that that's your destination, boy, you can get on road to that destination, man, and start heading in that direction as if you were already there. But watch this here. If you keep on pressing on toward the pride of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus, then I guarantee you, you're going to reach the destination. If you keep on seeking first, man, you know, that destination, I guarantee you, you're going to reach it. What? The fullness of a stature of Christ. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we be intimidated and feel like, you know, well, that was Jesus. You know, that's the Son of God. I can't do that. Who you think you are? You're the Son of God, too. Listen, in the same book of Colossians, in chapter 1, man, a few scriptures I've been quoting down around verse 23, it says this. It says, I'm going to show you a mystery. What? That's been hidden from ages and ages and ages, man. What mystery is that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only Jesus, man, and his spirit living on the inside of you, but boy, that's a Christ in you. The word Christ means reigning king. Jesus is a reigning king. Hallelujah. And boy, let me tell you something. There's a reigning king in you. There's a Christ on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Not just, man, you know, the king of king on the inside of you, but boy, there's a king in you. And there's a king, that's the king of the king that you are on the inside of you, too. And there's a spirit of the Most High God on the inside of you, too, to bring that into reality. That's his purpose. To lead and guide us into the truth and to bring us in remembrance of everything that Jesus said about us. Kind of like what I said last week. You know, sometimes we be preoccupied with the messenger at the expense of forfeiting the message. That's two things. You know, there's the gospel, man, of the messenger. That's the gospel of Jesus. But then there's another gospel, too. And that's the not just the gospel of the messenger, but the gospel of the message that the messenger proclaimed. And man, you know what the devil has deceived us in and kept us bound up in and kept us ignorant of is the message of the messenger. You don't mind us knowing all about the messenger and all that he did and how he opened blind eyes and not stopped deaf ears and cast out devils and went about doing good and healing all those who was oppressed of the devil. You don't mind you knowing and reading all about that, man, as long as you don't preach the message that the messenger proclaimed. Because the message is, hey, you can do the same thing. As I am, so are you. Like the Father sent me, so send now you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can preach the kingdom of God more and win souls to the kingdom of God, just like Jesus did. You can cast out devils, just like Jesus did. You can open blind eyes just like Jesus did, unstop deaf ears just like Jesus did, man, cause the lame to walk just like Jesus did, raise the dead to life again just like Jesus did. And listen, and when it comes time for a boy, you know, him to die physically, boy, that same spirit that's on the inside of him, that was on the inside of him, and that's also on the inside of us, going to do the same thing to you and I, too. Hallelujah. Jesus said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it back up again. So, hey, man, that means death don't even have no authority and power over us no more. Hallelujah. You destroy this physical temple right here, and I rise too. And you're going to rise too. Why? Because the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living on the inside of you. And if it raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Most High God, that's a place of authority, man. That's the next in authority, man, to God. Just like the Prince of Egypt was, man. He was next in authority to the Pharaohs. He out of all the power, man, Pharaoh had the greatest power, but the next one who had in power and authority under Pharaohs was Joseph. But we know that God has all power and all authority and dominion, but boy, we seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus with all power too. Power over all circumstances, situations, symptoms, principalities, powers, rules of darkness, and wicked spirits in high places. What's that? That's power over all the works of the devil and his demon cohorts. Come here, we don't see none of that manifesting in the earth. Come here, we don't have no faith and confidence in that. How come we don't have no faith and confidence in that, Brother Arthur? Hey, because you ain't heard that. You ain't heard that and 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 heard that, you know. You've been hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, man, the gospel, man, about the messenger. But you ain't been hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the message that the messenger proclaimed. And the message that the messenger proclaimed was all of the kingdom of heaven, and its culture, its lifestyle, its attributes, its power, its authority, its dominion. All that, man, has been restored back to you. All of the kingdom of heaven, your inheritance, that which was prepared for us before the foundation of the world, hallelujah, Jesus Christ coming to bring that governing authority of that place back to us. Hallelujah. He ain't trying to get us to the place. He coming to bring the place back to us. And not only that, boy, he taught us, man, the functioning principles of how to operate in that place, how to govern that place. Because, see, the government, the ruling authority of heaven that he brought to the earth or back to the earth, then he also, man, established some governors. That's us. By who? But the main governor. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? To govern, watch this, to govern the government of heaven. What, man? To execute, boy, the governing authority of heaven. To execute, man, and operate in the government of heaven. To learn the laws and the principles, man, that governs heaven and to govern that for God on the earth. To establish that for God on the earth. To establish that governing influence of heaven on this earth. For what purpose, Arthur? So that when it's all said and done, it will be on earth, in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Hey, listen, that's the message of the Bible. That's the knowledge, man, that God's people, man, don't have the quality knowledge of. And as a result of that, then it's causing us to live far below our rights and privileges. Instead of living, man, like mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, we live like mere men and mere women. Instead of living like, man, citizen, man, of the kingdom of heaven, man, we live, man, like citizens of our country. Instead of living, man, like sons of the Most High God and heirs of the Most High God, then we live like servants of the Most High God. When all the time, man, we are sons with an inheritance. Hallelujah. And, man, you know why? That's the message of the messenger. And I'm going to say this again. What the devil then done is preoccupied us with a good thing. What's that? That's the message of the messenger. Don't misunderstand me, man. That's a good thing. You got to have that, too. But see, if you just preach that, you can preach that and never preach. You can preach the gospel of the messenger and never preach the message. How you know that, Arthur? Hey, listen, you do the math. It's the subject matter of all your pastor's teaching and everything else. It's the subject matter. It's the restoration of God's kingdom back on the earth. Because if that's not the subject matter, then you ain't preaching the message that the messenger proclaimed. You're just preaching the messenger. And let me tell you something, that'll get you saved. And that'll get you, man, out of Egypt. And that'll get you wandering around in the wilderness, just like Moses got the children, man, saved out of Egypt. And he got a man delivered out of Egypt all the way into the wilderness. but he didn't take them across the Jordan River into the promised land. That was Joshua and Caleb's job. That's what they did. Hallelujah. It's just like the message of the messenger. That'll get us out. That'll get us delivered from the power of the, from Satan and his control of our lives and give us new life that's in Christ Jesus. But that won't get you into your inheritance. That's the Holy Ghost's job. His job, man, is to take us across the Jordan River into the promised land. What's the promised land? The kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. God promised something today. I'm gonna put you out of this place, the Garden of Eden, the secret place of the Most High God, the presence of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven on earth. I'm going to put you out of that place, but I promise you something. What? I'm going to come myself, and, man, I'm going to clean you up, man, from all your filth and dirt that caused you to be put out of this place. And for what purpose? So that I can restore you back to the place. Why? So that you can get back on course toward the destination that I, said the Lord, set for your life. Many are the plans in your heart, said the Lord, but it is my purpose that's going to prevail. That's why you always hear me say on this radio broadcast, listen, man, thank God for what we say and people say and doctors say and bankers say and everything else. But, boy, let me tell you something. That's a more sure word. Because, boy, in this governing the system, hallelujah, is what the kings say that goes. In any kingdom, man, the king's word is law. That's the law of a kingdom, what the kings say. We don't have no legislation and no Congress and all those political ties that we fall on to make up our governance system upon the earth. No, the ruling authority of heaven is, man, what the king say. Who is the king? That's the Most High God. What he say? This is what he say from the very beginning. I always want to remind you of this. The king say, let's make mankind just like us, and let's give them dominion. What? Over all the earth. So that they can be, and how you have them, hey, so they're going to be fruitful. That's going to be productive. They're going to multiply. They're going to, man, multiply what they produce. They're going to subdue it. That means they're going to distribute it. And they're going to have control, power, and influence over everything, man, that they produce and distribute. What are they going to do, man? Hey, listen. They're going to have ruling authority to establish, boy, the government of heaven on this earth. That makes us governors of our territory, our lives, our homes, our family, our communities, our circle of influence. What? Ruling authorities to do what, boy? To establish God's government on the earth. Hallelujah. What's God's government? The government of heaven. The lifestyle of heaven. The culture of heaven. The nature of heaven. The attributes of heaven. All that heaven is and all that heaven consists of. The riches of heaven. The treasures of heaven. The healing that's in heaven. The peace that's in heaven. The joy that's in heaven. All of the lifestyle of heaven. And all that it consists of. Listen, that's what the messenger came preaching, what? That's available to you. That's within you. That is here. At hand means it has arrived. When Jesus said, man, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he was saying this here. Hey, listen, be prepared to change your whole way of thinking, your whole way of seeing things. Why? Because I come to bring you back, man, a whole different way, the original way. Hallelujah. I come to bring you back to the top way of thinking. Thinking like God thinks. Thinking the thoughts of God. The same mind that was in Christ Jesus on the inside of you. Why? So that you think like God. Why? And hallelujah. So that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Bible says in Romans, man, I think it's chapter 12, it says, hey, don't be conformed to this world system, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. For what purpose? So that you can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives. What is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Not the permissive will. The perfect will of God for our lives, that it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. That's the will of God for our lives. And know what he said about that? He said, you want to accomplish that? Yes, sir. He said, well, this is how you accomplish that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteous government. And everything that you have need of to fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny will be added unto you. What are you saying? He's letting us know now what our number one priority ought to be. What's our number one priority? To seek, man, this government, man, that Jesus Christ came with on his shoulder. To seek, man, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. That word seek means to pursue, to go after, to search for, to learn of, to pursue that, to go after that. And watch this here. He say, and make that your number one priority. I ain't talking about your number two priority, number three priority. He said, if you seek first the kingdom of heaven and God and the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things that you have need of, I'm talking about from A to Z, they'll be added unto you on a daily basis. That's why the Bible says you won't even have to take no thought for tomorrow. Because God supply every need, man, that you need today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. And just like he supplied every need for today, he'll supply every need for tomorrow, too. But you got to have confidence in that, and you got to have faith in that. And in order for you to have confidence and faith in that, man, you know how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and continuously hearing and hearing and hearing what? The message of the messenger. You continue to hear and hear and hear, man, the gospel of the kingdom, that you are a mighty man and you are a mighty woman of God, and that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I'm not talking about no byproducts of a message. I'm talking about that's the subject matter of every message, revealing to us who we are in Christ Jesus. Who we are in Christ Jesus, boy, little Christ, just like we little gods. We're not capital C Christ. We little Christ. We little reigning kings. We little anointed kings. He's the king of kings. What Christ is, that's the Messiah. That's the anointed king. That's the one man that was coming, man, the redeemer of all mankind. And listen, you can do the same thing he did. You can help him, man, redeem mankind and reconcile mankind back to God. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, man, that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's a ministry that God has given man to every believer. That ain't just for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's for every believer. What ministry there? To go into all the world, man, you know, and tell of the goodness of God. Boy, C.C. Winer sang that song all the days of my life. Boy, I was singing of the goodness of God. Boy, that's the same way that it'd be with us. You know, we might not be able to sing like C.C. Dem and all the other, you know, gospel singers, but hey, listen, man, we ought to, every day, we are the tell of the, we might not be able to sing of the goodness of the Lord, but boy, we are the tell of the goodness of the Lord, boy. Because all our lives, man, even though it didn't seem like it, boy, he's been faithful. He's never left us. He's never forsook us. Even, man, in death, man, he's there with us. He ain't going to never leave us. He ain't going to never forsake us. That's his promise. And boy, as you hear, man, the good news, and listen, let me say something else about the message of the messenger. The message of the messenger is the good news, man, not about him, but the good news about you and me. And what's the good news that the messenger proclaimed about you and me? That, hey, as I am, so are you. The way the Father sent me, I'm going to send you. The work that I do, shall you do also. And know what the one of the greatest messages that the messenger proclaimed? He said, listen, hey, I'm going to go away, but I ain't going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you back, boy, the same spirit that enabled me to do all the things that I did on this earth. I'm going to send you back that same spirit to dwell on the inside of you. For what purpose? So that the works that I did shall you do also, and greater works shall you do. Hallelujah. You're not going to only, man, unstop death ears physically and open blind eyes physically and raise the dead physically. Man, you're going to open spiritual blind eyes. People who are blind into the truths of the message. You're going to unstop spiritual death ears. Hey, man, the ones who, man, that this gospel is here, the Bible says, because the God of this world has blinded our eyes and hardened our hearts, that sin we see not and hear me, hear not. He said, I come to a man to open, man, your spiritual blind eye. Or I come to give you, man, a illumination. I come to shine light in darkness. I come to get rid of the ignorance in your life, the thing that you don't know. That's destroying you, I came to bring you light and knowledge to them. So that, man, you can recover yourself from everything that's designed to destroy you. What the devil uses against us? Hey, he uses, man, what we don't know. Hallelujah. I heard one person say, well, what you don't know can't hurt you. That's a lie, man. What you don't know will kill you. That's what the Bible says in Hosea. It says, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Don't never let nobody tell you what you don't know won't can't hurt you. Hey, man, what you don't know will kill you. That's why God desire and Paul prayed, man, to all the church. He said, I pray, especially in Ephesians, say, I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you can know what is the hope of your calling and exceeding greatness of the power that's available to us. That same mighty working power that man raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he said, dwells on the inside of you. I told you before Jesus left, his greatest act that he did upon the earth was more than just, man, him, his birth and his preaching and his death and his resurrection. Those were mighty works and mighty acts. But you know what his greatest act was? Boy, before he left, boy, he grabbed them disciples, boy, and placed his hand upon them and breathed upon them. And made this awesome statement. What do you say? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And boy, what he did, boy, hey, why? Because that being here cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Why? So that the Holy Ghost can come once again and dwell on the inside of our spirit being that has been born again, that mighty man that came alive, that's been resurrected, boy, through the indestructible, incorrupted, ever-living seed of God's word, born of that word, born again by that word. What word? The message of the messenger. Hallelujah. That cleansed us up from all unrighteousness, man, so that we can stand boldly in the presence of the Most High God without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Knowing this, what? That even though our sins are like scarlet, they've been washed white as snow. What praise God? So that we can just do anything notice so that you can come out of sin. So that you can walk on out of darkness into the marvelous light. So that you can keep day by day, moment by moment, man, becoming, man, who you already are. Who are there, man? Sons of the Most High God. Offsprings of the Most High God. Some in male bodies, some in female bodies. But all of us, man, sons. That's offsprings of God. Some in, like I say, some in male bodies, some in female bodies. But boy, I'm talking about mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, whose citizenship, the Bible says in the book of Philippians, whose citizenship originated in hell. Hallelujah. So you're not, man, from earth. You come from heaven. You're from heaven. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. When God created you, he created, the Bible says in the same book in Ephesians, he said, man, thanks be unto God who chose us before the foundation of the world. Chose what? Who chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world. What you mean? We was in him. In him. Before the foundation of the world. Where is he at? In heaven. So if we was in him and he's in heaven, then we originated in heaven. Then he created us and spoke, man, and created us, boy. When he created us, boy, he created us, man, from him in heaven. Then he brought us down to this earth and formed a body for us to live in so that we can not only be citizens of heaven, but we could be citizens of this earth too, this country called earth. So we had dual citizenship. Citizenship in heaven and citizenship only. What's the purpose for having the written citizenship in heaven? So that we can establish, boy, that governing influence of that territory and the territory that God made for you and I. That's called the earth. But what purpose, brother? So that it might be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in the sweet by and by, just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the message of the messenger. Well, Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance, for all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Listen, I don't never want you to misunderstand something. There's a coming man, a millennium. We ain't got into that age yet, you know. We're living in the dispensation of the age of the grace of God. But, boy, that's coming another age. Man, in that age that we live in, boy, God come to set up this kingdom and this governing influence in the hearts of man. Hallelujah. But, boy, that's coming an age where, boy, Jesus Christ going to return to this earth. They call it the second coming. I call it the third coming. He's going to return to this earth. And not only is he going to return to this earth, but he's going to establish, man, a literal physical kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. His kingdom is going to be established on the earth, and there's going to be peace and joy. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven literally established on the earth for 1,000 years. They call it a millennium reign. Most of you ain't seen, like I say, there's a lot of words you ain't heard. You ain't heard the message of the messenger. You just heard the good news about the messenger. But you don't have no understanding of the message. Why? Because, man, perhaps most of you ain't been preached that. And listen, the message that we've been preached, please don't misunderstand me. That's a good message. That's a needed message. Like I told you, that message will get us saved and get our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but that won't get you your inheritance. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven, all of the sovereignty and dominion and power that you lost in Adam's disobedience. All of the righteousness that you had in Adam, man, before he ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All of the power and authority that he was walking in and operating in, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, before he ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That lifestyle, that way of living. Can you imagine how Adam was living before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I tell you how they were living. They were living in heaven on earth. That's how they was living. They was experiencing, man, the lifestyle and the culture of heaven right here on the earth. In that place that God planted, man, with an environment and atmosphere that was the same as his environment and atmosphere. Same culture, same lifestyle. The Bible terminology is the Garden of Eden. Jesus called it, well, the kingdom of heaven, back on earth. The kingdom of heaven. That was the Garden of Eden. The kingdom, a little carbon copy of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. That's what he established on the earth. That's what he came, not established. That's what he came and re-established on the earth. And then he preached about it. Listen, if you begin, and I challenge you, man, you know, put your faith, don't just listen to what I'm saying. You eat from the king's table, boy. I challenge you, man, you start reading your Bible, man, and especially the four Gospels, and the light of the restoration of God's kingdom. Listen, the theme of the Old Testament is the restoration of God's kingdom on the earth. That's the whole theme of the whole Testament. Everything that God was doing was in preparation, man, of restoring his original plan and purpose and destiny for mankind's life back up on the earth. All those stories and all those prophecies and all those laws and all that, all the way, man. From Genesis chapter 3, man, until, boy, you know, John the Baptist, the law and the prophets were proclaimed. That was just, man, just like John the Baptist said, boy, he just come to prepare the way. Those messages were just to prepare the way, what, for a soon coming king. For the Most High God to come and do what he promised them, boy, that he was going to do. What, redeem their life from destruction and restore back to them everything that they lost and Adam's disobedience. Listen, that took place 2,000 years ago. That ain't something that God's trying to do. That's something that God has already done. Listen, God ain't trying to heal us, and we got it back. We're trying to get God to heal us, man, when God has already healed us. We're trying to get saved, man, when, man, God has already saved us. We're trying to get blessed when God has already blessed us. We're trying to get provision, man, and God has already provided for us. We go to God and tell God things that we want him to do for us, and those things that we tell God that we want him to do for us is the thing that God told us he want us to do for him. We go and ask God in prayer for things that we already have. All our most majority of our prayer that we pray in the Christian church and the religion world, man, is, man, we asking for God, we asking God to do things that He done already done. We tell God, you know, hey, listen, Lord, stretch forth your nails, go ahead and bring healing to so and so and so and so and so. Hey, how God gonna do that? You say, I'm already healed. You want me to stretch forth my hand and bring healing to a loved one of yours? He say, well, I can't do it without you. I need you. I need some hands. I need a body. So you go and you cast out devils and you lay hands on the sick and you, man, preach the good news, man, that everything that mankind lost and Adam has been restored back to them. You go and proclaim, man, the gospel of Jesus like Jesus did. You go and do the works that Jesus did. Instead of asking me, man, to go, you go. Hallelujah. Hey, those prayers of petition that we ask God to do for us, they should be prayers of thanksgiving, not prayers of petition. We go and ask, like I say, prayer of petition, we go and ask God to do things that He's already done. It should be prayers of thanksgiving. Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus I'm here. I thank you, my Father, that me and my whole household, Lord, is saved. I thank you, my Father God, that I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I thank you, Father God, that I can lay hands on the sick. I thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I thank you that I'm the head, not the tail. I thank you that I got power over all the powers of my enemy. I thank you, Lord God, that just like Jesus cast out devils, Lord, I cast out devils too, and I thank you for that power and that authority and that dominion that you've given me. I thank you for restoring back to me everything that I lost, man, in Adam's disobedience, man. That through Jesus Christ's obedience, Lord, I thank you that it's been restored back to me, Father. And I thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Ghost that's enabled me to live and walk in the reality of that. Hallelujah. Instead of going to God and trying to get God to do things that He's not already done, I told you, instead of trying to get what's already ours, we ought to start having what's already ours. I'm going to say it again. We're trying to get God to do, man, what He's already done. And instead of trying to get what's already ours, we ought to start having what's already ours. How you do that, Arthur? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. What you mean, man? I'm talking about, boy, confident trust and exercising, boy, faith in, man, what the king say, by stepping out on what the king say. Listen, Peter never would have stepped out, man, that boat on the water if Jesus never would have said, come. He wasn't walking on the water. He wasn't stepping out on the water. He was stepping out on the word of God. Boy, when he stepped out on the word of God, boy, in faith, then he began to walk on the water. And when he took his eyes off of what the word said, man, that's when he began to sink. As long as you keep your eyes on what the word of God says, step out on the word of God, boy, then that's faith. That's acting on what you believe. That's applying what you believe to your everyday life. That's, man, not only being hearers of the word, but being doers of that word. That's not only, man, the knowledge of that word and the understanding of that word, but the application of that word to our everyday life. See, most of us, man, we got some knowledge of it, you know, because we didn't read the Bible and everything else. And we got some revelation knowledge. We got some understanding of it, you know. We can understand and spiritually discern some things because it's discerned by the Spirit of God. But then there's another stage of the relationship with God, not just knowledge and understanding, but, boy, the application of God's word. Boy, that's applying that word to our everyday life. Every day. Line up on line, precept upon precept. Little by little. Boy, not just being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Glory to God. Applying it to our lives. Listen, man, you can have 100,000 acres of land. You can have, man, 1,000 tractors and combines and equipment and everything else. You can have 1,000 men, laborers, employees, farmers, men that work for you and everything else. You can have, man, barrels and barrels of seeds and everything else. And you can have the knowledge on how to grow sugar cane, cotton, wheat, whatever it is, man, that you want to plant in your field. You can have all that. the equipment, the seed, the field, the knowledge, and everything else. But, man, until you put the seed in the ground, you ain't never going to get a harvest. First, that you got the knowledge of it and everything that you need to produce the seed, but you got to plant the seed in the ground. You got to plant the seed in the ground. You got to apply that knowledge and that understanding, man, that equipment, man. You got to put that to work. You got to do that, not God. There's a lot of times the enemy, man, attack us and get into us and defeat us because, man, God has provided, man, a whole armor for us that protects us from all the strategies and all the onslaughts of the devil. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth, shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith in one hand, and the sword of the Spirit in the other hand. That's the whole armor of God, man. Well, why does he been provided the armor for us, but he ain't going to put it on us. You got to put on the armor. I got to put on the armor, man. If you don't put on the armor, the armor is already provided. But if you don't put it on, if you don't put on the helmet of salvation, man, the devil come in and make you think, man, you're trying to get saved when you're already saved. If you don't put on the breastplate of righteousness, man, you'll be doing things, man, trying to quit sinning so that you can become more righteous. That's backwards. When you put on that breastplate of righteousness, man, you'll begin to live right. You'll begin to act right. And the more you live right and act right and do right, the less you'll sin. The Bible says it this way, awake to righteousness and sin not. In other words, come to the knowledge that you are as righteous as you are ever going to get. How do you know that, Arthur? Because the king say, he who knew no sin, he's talking about Jesus. God made him to be sin on our behalf so that we might in turn be made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. You've been made righteous. But if you ain't got on the breastplate of righteousness, you'll be trying to get righteous. You ask the average Christian, are you righteous? They said, no, I'm not righteous, man. I'm trying to get that. Man, you are as righteous as you ever going to get. You've been made righteous. So you ain't got to try to quit sinning. All you got to do is start practicing living right. And the more you practice living right, the less you sin. It'll automatically fall off, man. Year by year, day by day by day. You're already washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're already cleansed from all unrighteousness. You're already saved. I told you, we're trying to get what we already have instead of having what's already ours. Trying to get righteous, when, man, you've been made righteous. You are as righteous as you're ever going to get. That's what the king say. Now, I don't know what the preacher's saying, what the pastors are saying, and what the Christians are saying, and what Muslims are saying, and Hindus, and all that. And I ain't talking about the people, man. I'm talking about the religion of the people. Hallelujah. They attempts to appease deity. What we can do to get God to move on our behalf, our works. But the Bible says our works is like filthy rags. Our righteousness, the best we can do is like filthy rags. In other words, boy, our righteousness ain't going to get it done. Why? Because you didn't already sin. And the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of righteousness is eternal life. The gift of salvation is eternal life. The gift of grace and the faith to appropriate the grace is eternal life. Listen, man, you know, the Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith. And that's not of ourselves, our works, lest we boast, but it's a gift from God. The grace is a gift from God, and the faith is a gift from God. What's the grace? That's God's part to provide that for us. What's faith? That's our part. That's to act on that, to believe that, not only to believe that, but to act on that. A lot of people say, I believe in God, but that's good. The devil, Bible say, in James chapter 2, the Bible say the devil believe in God. So it's not enough just to believe in God, man. You know, you got to, like I say, apply that belief, exercise that belief, work that belief. Apply that belief. Act on what you believe. But that is, that's acting on the word of God. Otherwise, man, it just, it's faith without works. What's the work? When you apply that which you believe, when you act on that which you believe, when you act like you're a mighty man and mighty woman of God, when you talk like you're a mighty man and woman of God, when you walk like you're a mighty woman of God, when you think like that, and when you move like that, and guess what happens, man? You start becoming that. Why? Because, man, that's faith with works, then. That's belief with works. That's acting on the word of God. That's applying, boy, the gospel, man, to your life, the message of Jesus Christ to your life. That's why the devil don't ever want you to hear that message. Why? Because if you don't never hear, you can never apply. You won't have no faith in it. And faith is not, like I say, it's a little bit stronger than belief. Faith is believing to the point where we act on what we believe. We apply what we believe. We do what we believe. We speak what we believe. We walk what we believe. We act like what we believe. We think like what we believe. And why? Because the Bible says, as a man act, as a man walk, as a man think, so is he. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Arthur? I come telling you more that you're a mighty man, you're a mighty woman of the Most High God, and that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What you mean, man? We can get, man, you can get your whole household saved. Listen, man, it took one person, a man, to sprinkle the blood of a spotless lamb upon the doorpost of their house, and everybody in the house was saved. Everybody didn't go out there and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost of the house. In most cases, it probably was the father or the head of the house who took the spotless blood of a spotless lamb and slit that lamb's throat and drained that blood, man, from that spotless lamb and put that blood on the doorpost of his house and, boy, followed the simple instruction. What do you say? After you apply the blood to your house, they get all your family in there and stay in the house. And, boy, if they acted upon the simple instruction, they killed the lion, they killed the spotless lamb, slit his throat, they drained the blood, he put it on the doorpost of his house, he invited all his family, his loved one, his wife, his children, man, in there, boy, and then they told them, man, let's abide in the house. And when the death angel came through the land, you know what happened. He passed over their house. Hallelujah. So what you're saying, boy, I'm telling you, boy, that, man, you can believe for the salvation, and you can stand in the gap, and, boy, you can proclaim the good news of the message, man, that Jesus Christ came proclaiming, man, to your loved ones, to your family, too, that your whole house can be saved. Hallelujah. That God give us power, man, to get everybody in our house saved. Not only that, boy, our neighbors. Not only that, our communities. Not only that, our towns and cities and state and country. Why? Because the king say, boy, that, boy, whole nation's going to be one in a day. You mean to tell me, boy, we got the ability and the power, man, to win souls, man, to the kingdom of God? Yeah. How come we ain't been doing that? Because, boy, you've been trying to win souls to your church and to your denomination instead of winning them to the kingdom. And then they become a part of your denomination or your church. Your priorities is out of line. You're trying to get them in and invite them to the church. That's why I always invite you, man, not to a church service or even to a radio broadcast, but to invite you, man, into the presence of the Most High God, to eat from the king's table. I invite you to the kingdom to let you know, boy, that that's the invitation that God is extending to all of you under the sound of my voice. Well, come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. Come get all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Come get your stuff and learn of it, and learn how to operate in that. Instead of just learning how to operate in church protocol and religious traditions and rituals and ceremonies and customs and all that, come learn how to live, man, in the governing system of the kingdom of God. Come learn of me, Jesus said. Come learn, man, what I'm all about and what I said and what I did and what I said about you and what you can do. Come learn of that. And you'll find rest for your soul. You say, because my burden is, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You will cease from all your works and you'll get in on a completed work that God has already done through Christ Jesus. I told you God done already saved us. He done already healed us. He done already delivered us. He done already provided for us. What's next then? Now you got to take your place. You got to recover yourself from the snares of the devil. You got to exercise your authority and dominion and power that God gave you, man, in the beginning. You got to start exercising that and living in that. Well, he gave you dominion over all the affairs up on this earth. God can't come in here on this earth and do